Halloween episode of
You Didn't Ask
with Frankie
and Tish.
Why did I do that?
I with know.
Frankie
and Tish.
I just wanted it to be you instead.
You want to do swappies?
Today I'm Tish.
And I'm Frankie.
I don't know why I said this was the Halloween episode other than the fact that Halloween is tomorrow, because it is not about Halloween at all.
But
it covers things spooky, yeah. So.
I guess. We can throw in some Halloween stuff in it.
Maybe I'll throw in some like spooky sounds. Yeah. I want to suck your blood. Did that make it Halloween enough? That was my zombie. That's terrible. What does a zombie sound like? He's more like... Yeah, like that. What was I doing? I have no idea.
So I thought you were trying to do some like weird witch thing.
I have no clue. It could have been... We'll just say like that's what it was. We'll just say that's what it was. Because I don't know. You know what's weird? It is very humid today.
I don't know. It just feels weird today. It's gearing up for the cold. You can tell the weather's changing.
It's trying to peek through.
Yeah, it's like
it wants to.
It's Halloween time. No more summertime. And then the summer's fighting back. My
allergies are definitely noticing the weather change. I could tell you that.
Yeah. I felt really funky yesterday, and I knew something was up. And this morning, maybe I'm just sensing the weather change in my body. Like, oh.
You know what's the best part of being this deep into October, though? When you go to the grocery store, they already have eggnog. The nog.
The big nog.
Big nog, little nog, all the nogs, as long as it's the egg kind.
I remember once. So there's this guy like in a panic at the grocery store, pacing back in front of the milks. And I knew instinctively he was looking for eggnog, how he's on the phone with his girlfriend. He's like, I can't find it. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I'm looking. I swear I'm looking at it. It's not here. And like, I can hear her yelling at him and the poor guy. And then like he, I'm not tall and he was shorter than me. So like I tapped him on the shoulder and I pointed way high. The safety person who strategically put it in the top corner, I guess, so like they make sure that they got some themselves. I grabbed him. So I'm like, here you go. And he's like, oh my God, thank you.
See, everyone's down for the nog. They totally do. And it's crazy because like the second they put it out at the store, it's gone. And at the best, there's a couple of really good, and I'm going to totally drop brands, but there's a couple of really good eggnogs. And then there's some that are like so-so. And then there's some that is like, but the best nog of all time is Bud's. Mm-hmm. But like my husband cannot bring it to himself to like pay for it because that little tiny container is $6.50 and he's like, I cannot spend the money. So we get the other one's really good too. It's like this Lucerne one, but mm-hmm.
You're gonna be like this happiness versus $6.
Well,
like,
I'll just wait and I'll go to the store without him and I'll just buy it, and he'll be like, did you pay $6.50 for that? And I'll be like, no, I got it on sale.
Smile on my wife's face. Or $6.
Yeah, haven't you ever heard happy wife happy life? Buy the fucking nog, guys. Buy the nog. Mm-hmm. It's like in such a short amount. I mean, it's around for like, what, 3 months?
I don't even know.
Just buy it.
I don't even pay attention to that.
It's so short. It's so short.
It is. And then it's like again, it's gone. As soon as you see it, like that whole aisle where it says eggnog is usually empty.
Yeah,
it's so like one broken one.
I'm not the only one that likes the nog, I'm going to say. That's my favorite part. One of my favorite parts of October is that they bring the eggnog
out. I like it, but it hurts me incredibly. So I felt instantly like I am ruined for the rest of the day.
You know what they brought out at least this year? I don't know if it came out before and I just didn't notice, but they have like the lactaid nog now, and they have like, not oat milk. Is it oat milk? No, almond milk nog. And I know it's not going to be as thick and creamy as regular eggnog, but I'm tempted to try it because I think in my old age, I've become lactose intolerant.
Maybe we should try it and then we'll
read it. And then we'll read it. So
we're like, hey, we tested it.
This is the stuff that nightmares are made of. Do not get any nog. That is almond milk nog. I don't know. Maybe you guys know and you can tell me.
So this was a scary part of the episode.
This is the scariest part, yeah. Yeah, our little tangents. So again, spooky stuff where we, okay, so yeah, I'm trying to remember what life is all about, where I am, who I am. Tish and I have been recently, like we said, trying to stick to local legends, local lore, keeping it close to home, for many reasons. It's good discovering little things in this area that maybe need rediscovering, or, you know, to share it with all of you because maybe you guys didn't know about it, or yeah, even Tish is discovering new things.
Like Frankie had told me about
not this just spot. Tubi.
It wasn't just Tubi. Yeah, it was about the spot, and I had never heard about it until she had like gone there and taken pictures, and then mentioned it recently again. So like, not that I'm like a frequenter of every single location, but I had never heard about it. And even like when people were like, oh, where did you go? And I mentioned they pause and freeze. So it's kind of like a little,
I didn't know,
secret level.
And I thought it was like super well known, super well traveled. But I mean, grew up in the area, so of course I know about it. And it's Mount Madonna. So if you guys don't know about Mount Madonna, it is basically a redwood forest that is nestled between Gilroy, California and Santa Cruz, California. Yeah. It's located in Watsonville on basically the peak of the Santa Cruz Mountains.
Yeah. And like most of us, I think when we think Santa Cruz Mountains, like we think it ends there, but it actually keeps continuing down. So if you were to travel south
for
another Los hour Gatos, and a half, it's still there. There's more of it. So
yeah, you can get to it from many ways. If you're heading down south, like if you're coming from Morgan Hill, you can get there from Watsonville Road itself. What is it in Gilroy? If you go that way, it's like the 152, I think. Is it the 152 or the 156? That's
what we actually took to get there. 152.
Yeah. So, and it just takes you up, like if you're going to go over the hill to Watsonville or Santa Cruz, but before you get all the way over, yeah.
Especially.
It's just past Gilroy Gardens. It's like 10 miles west of Gilroy.
Yeah, like for us, the way we took up, especially if you're not okay with like the windy Felton roads going in the Santa Cruz Mountains, this is a way easier drive to get to. Just took, you know.
Yeah, I have to admit that I hate that drive after Mount Madonna when you're going down to like Santa Cruz. It gets pretty terrible, but I just hate windy roads. But just getting up to the park itself is fairly easy, and it's beautiful. Once you get there, it's well worth the very short drive from Gilroy. It's absolutely gorgeous, especially if you love being in the forest, you love the redwoods, you love hiking and camping and all that kind of stuff. There's total different possibilities of camping. You know, they have RV camping, they have tent camping, they have yurts.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually excited to go back and trying a yurt.
You can even see, I want to too. You can even see reindeer there. But with Mount Madonna Park comes a lot of like local lore. Mm-hmm. And one of the stories that we focused on was of a lady in white, as per usual, another lady in white. And this story comes from a man that owned a lot of the area, and originally what was it called, Los Animas Rancho? It was like a loney. There's evidence of native, you know, indigenous people in the area from back in the day, but there was this man and his name was Heinrich Kaiser. And he was a German immigrant. He came to America and he was originally like a really well-known butcher. And he landed in New York and made a name for himself as a butcher in New York.
And this guy was apparently really smart, very business savvy.
Yeah, super business savvy. Whatever he was, he became the king of whatever it was, you know, like he had nicknames as like, I can't remember them all, but he eventually came to the Gilroy area before it was even called Gilroy. Someone was supposed to come to this area on a train. They couldn't make it. They couldn't, and the tickets were non-refundable. Mm-hmm. The name on the ticket was Henry Miller, so he had to be known as Henry Miller to make his way out here, and so he changed his name and just kept it that way ever since. This actually, Mount Madonna and Gilroy has a lot of amazing history, way too much for us to discuss in an episode. I mean, it would take several, and this is not a history podcast, so but if you wanted to look it up, it's really, really interesting. I was not into history at all in my youth, and in my old age I really am, and it's a really cool read. But anyway, so this guy moves out here and eventually becomes known as the Cattle King. And in his lifetime, it's something he owned like over a million acres and a million cattle in his lifetime.
So like, and mostly of the redwood forests that are in this area, because he has several like places named after him.
Yeah, there's places in Gilroy Miller Avenue is named after him. And if you're driving up the 101 or down the 101, I should say, and you get to where the overpass is that goes into Hollister, he owned a huge plot of land over there called the Bloomfield Ranch. It was a giant estate. And that's where they lived on a regular basis. And in the summers, they try to escape the heat and they go up to Mount Madonna. And at the time, it was called Las Animas Rancho. And he built a summer house for his family out there. And it actually, if you go out to Mount Madonna now, you can see all of like the rubble. Ruins, I guess.
It really feels like almost like Greek ruins in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, there's a lot of cement. And you would think by looking at it that the house was made of stone, but you can Google it and see the house. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous.
Very expensive for the time, and thinking of how much had to be hauled up to that area just for them to build that.
So yeah, getting into Mount Madonna is driving up a narrow road. Not too narrow. There's parts of it that are one car length width, but I mean, for the most part, the main road is two lanes, but it's still pretty narrow, but it's uphill and it's like rough terrain. I mean, it's hiking. And to think that, yeah, like how did they, you know, horse-drawn carriage, like to get all of the materials up there to this location where they decided to build?
I can only imagine how long that took.
But for them, it was worth it, especially if you know the Gilroy area at all. It is fucking hot in the summertime there. So they just built a little summer house up in Mount Madonna Park to escape the, I would say, can you call heat treacherous? Because it's awful. Well, I hate the heat.
Especially back then, like there's no like really like reprieve from it. So like,
yeah, it's like you had AC.
Yeah.
That giant house and no air conditioning.
That'd be crazy. And then you were wearing those gowns and like fancy layers.
Yeah. Yeah. Corsets and long underwear. And yeah, because this was in, I want to say he died in 1912 or something. So they lived there in the late 1800s. So anyway, they built this house up in what is now known as Mount Madonna Park. Mm-hmm. And he had two children, Henry Jr. and Sarah. And Sarah, unfortunately, died from getting thrown from her horse.
Which is unfortunate. Like, I read that, like, she was crushed and all that kind of stuff. So, instant.
Yeah. And, of course, Henry and his family were absolutely devastated. Mm-hmm. And so much so that there were rumors for some time that he had buried her there, which wasn't true because they, you know, found evidence of her being buried somewhere else. But, he was absolutely devastated. And the local legend or local lore is that she stayed. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stories in my lifetime where I've heard about this for as long as I can remember. Really? About like a lady in white or a girl in white or the girl that died and that kind of stuff.
And I'm wondering if like when no matter what outfit you die in, if it looks white when, because there's so many ladies in white.
Well, the translucent, you know, people usually say when they see ghosts or whatever, it is white. So I think it's just no matter what, they're always going to be a lady in white. Always, always.
Well, even like campers, there's been plenty of stories from campers or people traveling there and checking that place out at night. And even from park rangers that not only been received accounts, but they've also tried themselves. And
other, to see if they could see her.
Right. Yeah. And other ghost hunting, like I think they said a Santa Cruz paranormal team has caught EVPs. So
of course, you know what we had to do.
We had to find out.
We had to go find out for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We decided to actually camp. So we found a cool little spot. It's not like we just rode up on it. You have to make reservations through the county parks. Mm-hmm. But we found a really cool spot. It was absolutely beautiful under a huge redwood. Definitely somewhere that we would go back again.
Yes, it was very nice.
The views are breathtaking. It's so peaceful. The air is so clean.
The energy is clean.
The energy was just really peaceful and amazing too. I was kind of hoping that, you know, we'd get there early and kind of like, you know, see the different locations and see if we could sense the energy. And I was both disappointed and overjoyed because sometimes we need a break from the hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
So just to be able to get out and go camping is like literally a breath of fresh air.
Yep.
And that brought much excitement, but I'm sensitive and I picked up nothing upon arrival. And I'd been there several times before there and I usually have a very cheerful experience. There have been times where I've gotten like the creeps really quick, but I mean, there was nothing in the air. Absolutely yeah. just complete
Even joy with and our peace. Instruments, like we weren't picking up on anything, like, which, you know, for us, I guess, you know, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes that we legitimately get nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. We have been very lucky and we've said this many times that when we go somewhere, we almost instantly. Mm-hmm. So we tried playing with our instruments a little bit at the campsite. We didn't want to like really ghost hunt there because if something told us to leave, we didn't want to be stuck sleeping there all night. And you know how we are about respecting the area. So if you caught our live, we did ghost hunt a little bit up a trail, kind of like near our camp where mm-hmm. some like trees came together in like a circle.
We're also not trying to disturb our campers and neighbors next to us. And there's a lot of people, which were unexpected.
There was a ton of people.
Right.
So that could have had something to do with it, because usually when we ghost hunt, we are pretty much the only people there, and there was a lot of activity in as far as the living. So I don't know if that played into it at all. So just around the area in the evening, we really didn't catch much. We didn't see much. We didn't feel much. We tried to use the spirit box near the campfire, and I don't think we picked anything up.
No, it was a bunch of just random gibberish. And for me, it was just capturing the radio station.
And I didn't feel anything. It was just such a really like peaceful, joyful energy.
Yeah. Even like the squirrels and stuff, and they were talking to us. It was nice.
Right. So we kind of thought it was a bust. I mean, I'm not ready to debunk it and say that that ghost doesn't exist. But for, you know, the night, it didn't go as spookily as I had hoped it mm-hmm. would. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, took our time, woke up slowly, got some food in us, and then went and explored. And this is where Henry Miller comes into play. So we ventured out and we found
even more beautiful places to check out.
Yeah, definitely. It's just past where you can see the reindeer and the reindeer den. Mm-hmm. Was the what used to be the Henry Miller estate. And so we were like, jackpot, you know, this is where we're going to want to be.
Somewhere primed for if there was going to be paranormal stuff, it was going to happen there because it looked like not eerie, but like lived in, like there's energy there. It just felt like something had to be like left there because the ruins were still
yeah you place. Look at it and you're like, hell yeah, this right. is the spot. And again, I felt nothing. Mm-hmm. Not a thing. It was really joyful energy, just like, you know, being outside in the outdoors and being at one with the earth. It was really, really beautiful, but incredible to look at, incredible to imagine what it must have been like in its time. I highly recommend going out there, yes. especially, like I said, if you enjoy history, if you enjoy hiking, if you enjoy nature. It's not too bad of a hike, depending on which way you come from it. You can literally drive up to a spot and then walk down the road and walk back pretty easily. But it's beautiful to look at. I think we may have taken pictures that I can probably post at just like the stone, pretty much rubble is all that's left.
Yeah.
You can see where like the, you know, foundation was originally.
Yeah. And I, if you type in like Henry Miller, like I think ruins is what I typed in, you can actually see pictures that other people have already taken.
Henry Miller Gilroy. Yeah.
Yeah. That I think that something around that search, you'll be able to find that and know exactly what we're talking about. I was wondering if those stones are made out of limestone. Do we know what they're made out of?
I don't know, but I remember thinking while we were there that it would be a beautiful place, like mm-hmm. a beautiful eerie place to take like wedding or like yeah. engagement photos. Because of that, just like wall. It's just a wall with window holes. And
we need to take like, we should do like some medieval like horror theme in there because it almost feels like it's medieval.
Yeah, you couldn't tell that it was a beautiful Victorian ranch.
No, it feels like if, you know, if you're in like a movie, like I'm throwing something out there like Game of Thrones or like Robin Hood or something like that type of environment where the Or even like Lord of the Rings, where they had to stop the night in campfire there, and that's the safe little place that they're hiding in.
Yeah, and how the actual house looks nothing like you would imagine based on what's there.
Right, I was totally like, what? Because that's not what I pictured. I thought the whole thing was made of stone.
Yeah.
It was a castle, and then...
It was just the bottom part. The huge bottom part. And there's tons of steps leading up everywhere. I mean, it's definitely worth going out to, for sure.
If it does have limestone in there, or quartz, or something that retains energy, that would explain why people are saying that they see something. Well, yeah,
so that's the thing, is that Tish has, you know, been doing a lot of research, and there a lot of people see what they believe the ghost of Sarah Miller to be there. And it looks like it would be the place.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we didn't see anything, we didn't catch anything, but we didn't give up and we kept exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Did the AC turn on? Do you feel that cold breeze between us? It's literally right here. It's touching my arm right now.
I feel it.
It's like someone's hand is
right on your elbow.
Yep, it's right there. Someone's touching me.
Or your elbow is it feels like spraying cold water.
No, it feels like this, but cold.
Yeah, I felt it right before I touched. It's right on your elbow.
Uh-huh. Someone literally just touched me.
It wasn't me, you guys.
That was weird. So it's again.
I feel it right at your elbow. It's like your elbow has a fan coming out of it.
Like there's cold air coming right there. Like a gust. Oh, perfect timing for that. It's still there. But anyway, I'm trying not to move because I want to see how long it'll stay there. It really does seem like there would be something paranormal there. But we didn't give up. We kept exploring.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up to a higher level of where it's really strong. Are you sure the AC's not on, or the window? That's freaking weird.
That's close.
I still feel it. So we explored up a little bit further, and there was a part where there's stairs that you can walk up, and when you walk up the stairs, underneath all of the leaves and dirt and whatever, you can see that there used to be sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
And they go like in a circle. I don't know if it goes all the way around in a circle or if it goes into a half circle, but they split off in two different directions. And I started walking up the path, and instantly I was like, holy crap, there is something here.
Mm-hmm.
It is so heavy. It made my arms feel like they weighed 100 pounds each. And I was like, this is the spot. So at the time that we were looking around in that area, we were the only people that were in the forest at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down on the concrete rubble, I don't know, I guess whatever you want to call it, and turned on the spirit box, and immediately three spirits came through.
And we had the two cat males
and
too.
A female, yep. Go ahead.
EMF, I think we had. I was sensing something from the trees, and I know you were saying no, this spot. So we camped out where you were feeling it really strong, and the trees are on, like, they're right next door. So, like, okay, we're in the perfect spot to be handling this. And like we said, like, we started getting people talking, and it was during the day, and the cat ball starts going off by itself. And, like, so we know, you know, we used to just start interacting. We start asking questions, like, who you are, asking their name, like, asking if they're male or female.
And two male voices came through, one female voice. We can play a little of that now. We mean no harm. We're here to talk to positive human spirits.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you do, please feel free to talk to us.
Is this your home?
Did you live here? Yeah, you lived here? We're having a really hard time understanding if that's you communicating. Is it okay that we're here? I could hear him like trying so hard to come through.
The box higher. Let me be your antenna.
Is it okay that we're here? If it's okay that we're here, will you touch the cat ball again? Would you like us to leave? If you'd like us to leave, you could touch the cat ball now.
What language do you speak?
Are you still here? Are you still here? If you're still here, you could touch the cat ball now. Let us know that you're still here. If not, we can move on. So you can tell, obviously, we were talking to at least three people, at least, I'd say.
Yeah, and so at some points, too, I thought I was hearing someone speak in, like, a voice or, like, something that sounded like an old dialect. The girl, like, I can hear her, like, repeating herself because we kept asking the same question. But for me, it was so hard to, like, capture what they were trying to say.
Like, yeah, it was really hard. And they said something about there not being, like, it took a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And things were out of batteries, like that kind of stuff, too. Mm-hmm. We kept checking our machines to see if it's out of batteries. And I think that it just was really hard. I mean, Tish and I have talked about this before, and obviously we have no proof of it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the longer that you're deceased, the further away you are in space and time. So it begins to become harder to make contact with us that are still living.
Or maybe you even forget where you've been.
Right. Like, and Tish mentioned it, you know, when we were there. And I was like, yeah, I totally believe that. I totally believe that it becomes more difficult to communicate the longer and further away that your death has been. So I don't know if that, like, came in. Something's freaking touching me and I'm getting goosebumps. If that came into play and, you know, it was just really hard to draw from the energy, or if because we were so fucking exhausted from lack of sleep the night before, we were up all night hearing things in our campground. I don't know if they were paranormal or animal or people
fucking with us.
Yeah, like all night. So it made it hard for us to sleep. So I don't know if it's because all of our energies were so low. Usually we have a lot of energy. We're really high energy, but everybody was overly exhausted and it couldn't really draw a lot from us. So I think that maybe that had something to do with it as well. But then I noticed that all of a sudden people were exploring,
mm-hmm.
and hikers started coming and people with their families started coming. And as soon as other people started to show up, everything just stopped.
It's just like, oh, no, we're done.
Like they were, you know, a little bit antisocial. And
it could have been too, because even though like we were there, like we had to go into like the back corner of where everything was to find them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I kind of feel like during the day they're probably hidden away because there's too many people moving around. And we were in an area that it didn't seem like people continued up there. They just stayed down at the bottom where all the
major parts.
Yeah, the major parts were. And we traveled up a little bit and it almost seemed like, not that they were antisocial, but even maybe fearful. You know, you never know what their feeling is. Mm-hmm. But it felt like right when things were starting to get ramped up, as soon as people showed up, it stopped. So all in all, I mean, there's definitely something out there.
Mm-hmm.
I would be willing to go again. We talked about returning.
Maybe going at night.
In the not so distant mm-hmm. future, spending more than one night.
Becoming park rangers.
Going earlier so that we can explore the areas that we want to visit at night and kind of like set up and, you know, kind of do a little more to see if we could capture more, because I think it would be cool. I mean, people have claimed to have seen Sarah Miller in the bottom part of the foundation. So, I mean, maybe she just comes out when there's less people around in the evening.
When she can, maybe she has to charge up her batteries.
But like, hey, if we go, we got to be all booted up because it is rattlesnake area. Wear boots and long pants and like that kind of stuff too. So it wasn't a total bust, I would say.
I don't think any experience that we had so far has been anywhere near like disappointing. I think we've been Like, even fortunate, if, yeah, even if we don't have ERISA results, we're learning something. So it's always a win. We got out. We had fun.
Oh, yeah. And made contact, which is, you know, more than I think that I was expecting at that time. Initially, I was expecting a lot. And then how everything played out, I was like, oh, maybe nothing will happen. And then, you know, we got lucky. But it was crazy. It was like, I kept saying too, when we were on the bottom, remember, I was like, something's calling me that way. Something's calling me that way. I want to go over there. So I kept going and I just kept following it. And we passed up several different stairs that we could have walked up. And I'm like, nope, I need to keep going this way. And then finally I found the ones that I wanted to go up. And then that's when we got the feelings and my arms got heavy. And I'm curious to know if maybe it was Henry Jr., if it was Sarah. We couldn't get clear names. Well,
at first, we're both kind of picking on male energy, but like the voices didn't sound like someone was older. They sounded young, or at least from my interpretation of the sounds of their voice.
Well, not young as in children, but
young in age.
Young and youthful, yeah.
And then, like, also, like, the person who was hard to understand, even though, like, I didn't, we know, knowing him to have our research that he had a heavy German accent, like, that didn't kind of line up, but
right.
So, but again, we have no idea. So,
but his children were born here,
right?
So they could have, you know, had a very like Americanized accent.
Yeah, and maybe we need to go review some of those videos and say if we actually and
listen again. That's the thing too, is that I know we've told you guys a million times. Like, we hear so much more when we listen again.
Yeah, because and then it's there, and it, like, you can rewind and you hear it again. You hear it again. Okay, it's definitely happened. It wasn't just me imagining something. There was something there. And in the moment, there's so much going on, you can't keep up with real time. So, like, you try to, you catch some things, and you're like, what? And then go back to it, like, oh, it was nothing like what I heard the first time. But
so, my recommendation is definitely go.
Even if it's just,
yeah.
Just to be around the beauty.
Yes. Even if it's not to ghost hunt, just to be around this beautiful area, because it is gorgeous. There's so much more to explore. There are more urban legends that involve Mount Madonna Park that we could probably get into in a later episode. And as far as ghosts, even the ghost experience that we had wasn't like super creepy. So unless you're just totally terrified of ghosts, then yeah, it'll be creepy as hell. I think the scariest thing per usual when being outdoors is the wildlife, and not knowing what it is and how close it will get.
Or if it's going to steal your Pringles in the middle of the night.
And run away with the can of Pringles. yeah, so definitely go. And if you guys do your own research, let us know. Like I said, we'll plan to go out again soon, and we can let you know what we find, if we find anything. Yep. Anything else we need to share with the folks? Have a happy, safe Halloween.
Yes.
Remember to always go with at least a partner. Wear something that can be seen at night, because there are a lot of crazy drivers out there.
Flashlights.
Yeah, flashlights. Have fun. You only get to be a kid once. Enjoy it. Take your kids and just have a blast. And remember, if you're going to be paranormally active, always use protection. Happy Halloween!